More and more over the years, as I read Scripture, I am convinced that one of the greatest gifts of Scripture is perspective. That is, offering us a way to look at our lives and the world and how we live in a very different way than what the world teaches us. And I think that idea is reflected in both the readings this morning. Let me start with the Psalm 124, which boldly declares, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side," let Israel now say, "if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when our enemies attacked us, when we felt the floodwaters rising, when we felt like we were trapped and ensnared, if it had not been the Lord on our side, we would have perished. Our help is in the Lord." As opposed to the world, which teaches you have to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Just do it. You're the one in charge. The psalm says, the Lord is the one who has saved us again and again and again. And let me also comment, when this psalm, and I'm doing this in my reading of the psalms generally now, whenever one of the psalms talks about an enemy, more and more I am reminded of the comic strip Pogo. And I'm dating myself even by knowing it. Anyone remember the comic strip Pogo about the possum in Okefenokee Swamp there? Pogo's famous quote was, "We have met the enemy, and it is us." More and more when the Psalms talk about enemies, I begin to reflect about how I may be my own worst enemy. Or I've started actually replacing the word enemy in my mind as I read sometimes with the word sin. When my own demons were attacking me and leading me in the wrong direction, it's the Lord who saves me. The Lord is our help. The Lord is our hope that we can be saved even from ourselves, that we can be changed, that we can be transformed. Which leads us to Romans and what Paul says there. Do not be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world. What are those patterns? They are the habits, the routines, the assumptions, the knee-jerk reactions, the political correctness that gets ingrained in us, that when anything, that things happen and we react in certain ways because that's what the world does, that's what the majority does, that's what our political party does. The patterns of this world. But Paul says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think. Maybe think before you speak. Think. Sorry, that was an allusion to last week's sermon if you weren't here for that. But think before you act, before you speak. Think for yourself. Think, what does God want here? What is God's perspective? Be transformed, not conformed. Martin Luther King Jr. has a wonderful sermon that he preached on this passage from Romans, and he called it Transformed Nonconformist. We are called to be transformed nonconformist. He also says in this sermon, another phrase I love, he says, we should learn to be creatively maladjusted. He says that's what the prophets were. He also uses a wonderful image. He draws upon Longfellow's image Longfellow who said, in this world, a man is either an anvil or a hammer. You may have heard that. We either are shaped or we shape the world. Martin Luther King uses a slightly more modern image. He says, most people, and Christians in particular, are thermometers that record or register the temperature of majority opinion rather than thermostats that transform and regulate the temperature of society. To conform is to be a thermometer. You simply reflect the temperature. King says maybe we should be thermostats that actually change and try to regulate the temperature of society. And to me, that says maybe lower the temperature a bit. Martin Luther King goes on to say this: we need to recapture the gospel glow of the early Christians who were nonconformists in the truest sense of the word and refused to shape their witness according to the mundane patterns of the world. Quantitatively small, they were qualitatively giants. And he concludes, if the Church of Jesus Christ is to regain once more its power, message, and authentic ring, it must conform only to the demands of the gospel. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. And Paul gives us a few specific perspectives for how we can be transformed rather than conformed. He reminds us, you all are one family. All are together in the body of Christ, and I might say, or add, the body of the human race. We all are one. That's not a perspective the world often offers to us. But we're all one family. Paul then says, you're all one family, but with uniquely different gifts and skills. And particularly for the church, the way you do ministry, the way you try to live out God's call in your life may be very different than how someone else is doing it. But just because they don't look or act like you do doesn't mean they are not as authentically Christian and trying to live out that Christian faith as you are. And I think the most important reminder Paul gives us about how to be transformed, how to have a new perspective, is when he says, do not think more of yourself than you ought. Humility. Again, the world teaches something very different. The world says, you're the center of the universe. If it feels good, do it. You deserve it. You've earned it. Paul says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Now, God thinks of us pretty highly. Let's start with that. But some of us often inflate our own importance, don't we? Occasionally? Am I the only one? Maybe. Don't think more of yourself than you ought. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. We have, all of us, our own opinions, our strong opinions, our deeply held beliefs and opinions, and we should. But do we always remember that the person who holds the totally opposite belief is also a child of God? Can you imagine that you might be wrong? I'm not saying you are wrong. Depends on whether you agree with me or not. I'm just saying, can you imagine, about whatever opinion it is or belief, can you imagine that you might be wrong? I think that's part of the freedom that is promised in our psalm. That trap that we are released from with God's help is often the trap of our own minds, our own patterns and habits and assumptions. Well, it's got to be this way. It's what I've always believed. But to be transformed by God is to say God knows the truth. And although I think God may be on my side, as the psalm says, I'm reminded of what Abraham Lincoln said during the Civil War. Both sides in this conflict think God is on their side, but at most, one of them can be right, and it may be that neither is right. The point is not always to say, God's on my side, but to say, am I on God's side? That's where the rubber hits the road. Do not be conformed to the patterns and knee-jerk assumptions and reactions and thoughts of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind and heart with God's help. The point for each of us is to be more and more like Christ, transformed by the grace that God has shown us, and maybe sharing that grace and being more gracious in our world. None of us has reached perfection yet. I hate to break that to you, because it also means I have to admit it to myself. But being transformed means we haven't gotten there yet, but hopefully we're all moving in that direction with God's help. Amen.